Now, I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a little bit anxious in the dark. At the moment, a couple of days a week, I'm getting up to go for a run before the sun gets up. And I've got a little LED torch that's very, very bright, but I really can't see that far ahead. And so I'm focusing lots on the ground, making sure I don't trip over. But with the shifting shadows, sometimes my pulse starts to raise and it's got nothing to do with how steep the hill is. And I wonder if there's not actually any of us who don't find the dark slightly worrying. Now, darkness is a strange thing to be worried about because darkness doesn't really exist. It's not actually a thing, it's the absence of a thing. If it's night time and you're in the room and the light's on and you open up the curtains, the darkness doesn't come flooding in from inside. No, the light shines out into the darkness. We don't have dark switches on our wall to turn off the light. No, we have light switches on because the light fills the darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Darkness is emptiness. It's the void. And at the start of the Bible, we see this. Before God created a very good world, there was darkness and chaos. Have a listen to the start of the Bible. This is what Owen read to us earlier, Genesis 1, 1-5, and it should come up on the screen in front of you as well. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and he separated the light from the darkness. He called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. Before God spoke the world into existence, there was darkness. A void waiting to be filled with light and love and life. And the first part of the depiction of creation in Genesis 1 is God making light and separating the light from the darkness. God turned nothingness into something. He separated chaos into order. And he does this because God is life and light and love. However, God's good creation doesn't stay this way. When people turn our back on God and choose to live our own way, we turn our back on God's light and life and love, and so our world became dark. And it's this dark world that Jesus came into. And in our time in Luke's biography over the last term, we've seen this darkness. We've seen darkness in the religious leaders who love power more than truth, who love control more than God. And so in the dead of night, they come to arrest Jesus. If you've got a Bible there, please have a look at it. Luke chapter 22, so just before where our reading started, Luke chapter 22 and verse 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, the officers of the temple guard and the elders who had come for him, "Am I leading a rebellion that you have come with swords and clubs? Every day I was with you in the temple courts and you did not lay a hand on me. But this is your hour when darkness reigns." This arrest in the middle of the night, in part, it's strategic. They want to hide what they're doing from the watching eyes. But it's also symbolic. They are operating at night because they are full of darkness and evil. There's a reason why bats are often in scary movies. It's not because of their link, their alleged link to COVID-19. It's because they're creatures of the night. We don't trust them because they live in the dark. These religious leaders are also creatures of the night. They operate at night because it's strategic, but it's also symbolic. And this shows how different they are from Jesus. Jesus has always been about light and life. When he was born, the shepherds were on the hill in the dark of night. And then they were overwhelmed by the shining brightness of God's glory. And throughout his life, Jesus brought light to people. Literally, that's what he did when he opened the eyes of the blind. So what are we seeing as Jesus is arrested? We're seeing the kingdoms of darkness against the Son of Light. The kingdoms of this world warring against the King of Heaven. And this just shows the world's kingdoms are actually the kingdom of Satan. Everything about their kingdom is what God is not. Everything about them and their power, their desire for power, is the exact opposite of Jesus, God's true King. And we see this darkness today, don't we? We live in a dark world, a world where darkness tries to reign. Whether it's that natural darkness from sickness and natural disasters, as we prayed about just before, pandemics, fires and cyclones, or whether it's human darkness, the darkness of sin, of greed, of corruption and abuse. We live in the same dark world. Well, after Jesus' arrest, things get even darker. Luke records that as Jesus is hung on a cross, as he is mocked by the leaders, mocked by the soldiers, mocked by the crowd, even by one of the criminals who's being crucified with him, in the middle of the day, darkness descends. Now have a look at Luke chapter 23 and verse 44. And this is really where we're going to spend just a few minutes focusing on these couple of verses. Luke 23 verse 44. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining. What's going on? As modern people, we might look for a natural explanation. What does Luke mean that the sun stopped shining? What physically happened? But that's not the point. This darkness is a sign of supernatural judgment. This moment, as God the Son is crucified, as the one who, through whom all things were created, is killed by his creatures, this darkness is a sign that creation is coming undone. It's undone as an act of God's judgment. In the opening chapters of the Bible, we read of how God judged the world by sending a flood. If you're familiar with how creation is depicted in Genesis 1, you see this flood is undoing creation. It's taking the world back to before day 3. It's chaos invading God's order. In the same way, here we are in the middle of the day. At a time when there shouldn't even be a shadow, darkness descends and creation becomes undone. There is darkness when there should be light. This is God's judgment. The world is being taken back to before day 1. So this darkness, what is it pointing to? God is judging and punishing the world like he did in the flood. But at this time, judgment is focused on the beloved Son. God's judgment is focused on God's beloved Son. Jesus spoke about this back in Luke chapter 21. In Luke 21, Jesus said God's judgment would be marked by decreation. This will be up on the screen. He said, "There will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars. On the earth, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and tossing of the sea. People will be fainting from terror, apprehensive of what is coming on the world, for the heavenly bodies will be shaken." This is what Jesus said would happen, and it's literally happening as he dies. The heavenly bodies are failing to give light. And as Jesus dies, not only is the world shaken, but the temple, the place where heaven and earth met, it's decreated too. Luke 23:45 says, "And the curtain of the temple was torn in two." Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And when he had said this, he breathed his last. While darkness enveloped the land, this temple curtain was torn in two. Now, if you read books in the Bible like Exodus and Leviticus, they give instructions about how to build the tabernacle. And the tabernacle was a tent, so it was basically 100% curtain. But when the temple was built, it was built with stone to replace the tabernacle, to be a physical permanent replacement. It only had one curtain. And this curtain separated the most holy place, the room where the Ark of the Covenant was meant to live, the place where only the high priest could enter, and only on the Day of Atonement and only with blood. That's the curtain which is torn in two. This tearing of the curtain is a sign of judgment on the temple. With the curtain torn, the temple is desecrated. With the curtain torn, this temple's days are over. With the curtain torn, the most holy place is no longer holy. And what does this mean? It means the temple can no longer be the place where people go to sacrifice for their sin. This is the finale of God's judgment, Jesus' judgment on the temple. Famously, during the week leading up to the crucifixion, Jesus entered the temple and drove out the money changers. And he said, "My house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a den of robbers." Jesus was condemning the way the temple had been used. And later that week, as he was speaking to the disciples, he said, "The time will come when not one stone will be left on another. Every one of them will be thrown down." Jesus is saying, this temple has been corrupted by your sin. God's judgment is coming on this temple. It will be undone. And as the curtain is torn in two, that begins to happen. And there are two things going on here. On one hand, the physical temple is being undone. It is no longer the place people are to go to be made right with God. But on the other hand, God's once-for-all sacrifice is being made. Jesus is fulfilling the temple. On the cross, Jesus himself becomes the true temple, the place people need to go to be made right with God. And this is where light shines in these dark events. In the arrest and crucifixion of Jesus, we've seen the darkness of human kingdoms, the darkness of evil arresting Jesus under the cover of night. We've seen the darkness of God's judgment, the sun refusing to shine as God undoes creation, judging sin in Jesus. And we've seen darkness descend on the temple as it is desecrated and undone, the curtain torn in two. And although this day, the day Jesus is killed, is rightly called the darkest day, we continue to see the same kind of darkness in our world, in our lives. And some of us, we try to ignore it, we keep looking for silver linings, but it's pretty hard to ignore. Others of us, we do the opposite. We see the darkness and we allow it to overwhelm us. And both of these are the wrong approach to the darkness. Yes, we must acknowledge the real darkness in our world. Some of this darkness is the darkness that is going to bring God's eternal judgment. Some of this darkness is the prelude to God's final judgment. To ignore the darkness is to ignore the reality of judgment. But we also need to realize that the darkness isn't just out there, but it's in us too. Our hearts are dark, they're blackened by sin. I see it in myself. I see it in the way that I sabotage light and life and love in my world, causing chaos in my family, in my marriage, in my own life, let alone the darkness that separates us from God because of the darkness in our hearts. And this darkness which is within, it will overwhelm us unless we allow the light of Jesus in. The light of Jesus can shine into us and remove that darkness. Because on the cross, Jesus took that darkness, the darkness that's out there, but even more, it's the darkness that's in here, into himself. Jesus, who is light and life, he entered our world for this reason, to take death and darkness into himself. And the good news is, he did this to extinguish darkness. He died to bring forgiveness of sin. He died to defeat Satan and the forces of evil. He died to conquer death. And we see this is true because darkness did not get the last word. On the dawn of the third day, there is life and light. Now, it's still fair enough if you're a little bit anxious about physical darkness. No one wants to stumble around and trip when they're in the dark. And those strange noises we hear in the dark, they can be a little bit worrying. We do live in a sinful world, and there is danger to be found in that physical darkness. But friends, brothers and sisters, we do not need to be afraid of the darkness of evil and judgment because of Jesus. Today, if you don't know Jesus, if darkness has overwhelmed you, if you've become even more aware of the darkness in your heart, the invitation is for you to come to Jesus, to allow him to take your darkness and to give to you his light. And if you've already received Jesus' light, the challenge for us is to, well, our world is still full of darkness, isn't it? Our friends, our family, our neighbours, if they don't know Jesus, then they are stumbling in the dark. And there is anxiety in this life and even greater anxiety for the next. But you have good news for them. Jesus is good news for them. Jesus has entered our darkness. He's entered their darkness. He's taken our darkness into himself, and it hasn't extinguished him. He has outshone it. So we don't need to be in the dark anymore. And that is good news. How could you share it this Good Friday? Is there someone you know who may be particularly feeling the darkness? Could you give them a call, not only to show your love to them, but to speak about how you found life and light in Jesus? If you're a social media user, maybe you could share something on Facebook or Instagram or Twitter. If you go to our church Facebook page, there's a couple of videos there now. You may even pick up, if you watch those videos, some of the language that I've been using. I was inspired by some of those videos. And there's going to be a few more shared. I've already got them lined up, shared over the coming today and over the next few days. Watch them. And click share so others can see them too and find out that even in the darkness there is good news. There is darkness. There are dark days, but Jesus came into the darkness to defeat it and to bring light. I want to invite you to pray with me as we close. Our Father God, please help us to rightly see and feel the darkness in our world and the darkness in our hearts. Help us to recognize darkness so that we might know what Jesus has come to rescue us from. Thank you so much for Jesus. I thank you that he entered into our dark world and even faced the darkness of the cross, and he did this out of love for his people. As we see the darkness in our world and in ourselves, may it cause us to run to Jesus, to find light and love in him. May your Spirit work in us that we might know our life is hid in him. And please help us to see how much the world needs this light and give us courage and confidence to speak of the light of Jesus to those who don't know him. Amen.